Coming up in this hour of the radio broadcast, we have got a lot to get to. Working on our guys Kevin and John. See when we can get them in, either 840 or 920. Rashad Beard at 9 o'clock. That's all coming up. I got your audio blitz here in just a minute to get to. But my man Creed has been hanging on kind enough to hang on all the way through the break to chat some Carolina Panther football. They got the Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning, defending, undisputed Super Bowl champs coming to the bank this weekend. Creed, welcome back to the show, big dog. Good to have you.
Hey, man. Well, after hearing that segment, now I had one thing. Now I want to do both things. Which one am I more of a dream of? And, boy, you're gonna hold your breath on one of them. But one of them is that Mississippi and Alabama lose this weekend, which would be tough but not impossible, and South Carolina, Clemson becomes a play and win in your end game, or, and this here will blow you away, Carolina is that good. They get Adam Thielen back. The Panthers are that good, and Atlanta does not look good. Their schedule is ridiculous. What happens when the Panthers come out and win the division at 8-9?
Oh, man, Creed.
Which one am I dreaming more about?
Yes, both. See all of the above.
Gamecocks.
I hate to be that guy.
The NFC South is that bad. Carolina could, but they'd have to win this weekend.
8-9 would do it. 8-9 would do it.
8-9 might do it. I think there are still some wild cards out there. I do think the Buccaneers are still very much a wild card team. Honestly, man, like, I'm not trying to be a homer here, but I don't know if Darren Rizzi's Saints are a joke or not, right? Like, they are 2-0. They beat the Browns. The Browns turn around and beat the Steelers the next week. They just knocked off the Falcons. Are the Falcons bad, or did the Saints show that they're going to be a different team? I told you the whole problem with New Orleans was Dennis Allen. And Creed, I know ball. I called that shot from the beginning. They fire the guy, they go 2-0. I don't know. I think the Panthers winning the division is more realistic than the Gamecocks winning or making the college football playoff. And that's not a shot at the Gamecocks, because, again, I've called them. They might be the hottest team in college football right now. The problem is, you got five champs that you know are going in, so you got seven at-large spots that you get to fill in, right? You're going to have probably three teams out of the Big Ten. You're probably going to have either four or five teams out of the SEC. There's probably three spots at the bottom of the 12 that they could go in, and the unfortunate part for you is you've got SMU with one loss. You've got BYU with one loss. You've got A&M ahead of you. Even though you beat them, they're still ranked up three spots, or what is it? Yeah, three spots ahead of you right now. You need them to lose to Texas. Texas to win the SEC. Like, there's just, I just unfortunately don't think that there is room for a three-loss team. I've already said a couple times on the show, and I'll say it one more time, Creed. I think South Carolina Gamecocks are the biggest what-if team out there, because what if they beat LSU? They're in the playoffs. What if they pull the upset against Alabama? I think they're in the playoffs. The schedule they had, a two-loss Gamecock team is in the playoffs. I just don't think there's room for a three-loss team.
Well, I'm going to go with your own logic there. If you're telling me there will definitely be four SEC teams, if Mississippi and Alabama both lose, South Carolina becomes that fourth team.
Possible, but where's Alabama lose? Because I don't
say this week. This week, Oklahoma. It's Oklahoma Super Bowl.
I mean, it is, dude. But Oklahoma's just not that good, right? Like, and I'm not saying Alabama's great. They lost to Vandy, but since they lost to Vandy, they did drop the one to Tennessee. That's a good program. They put 34 on the same Missouri Tigers that South Carolina went to the line against. They basically ended Brian Kelly at LSU. And, yeah, it was Mercer. They put 52 on the board. Alabama's going to Oklahoma. And let me pull up the line just because I'm curious. I think they're
it's
like a two-score.
Yeah. 13.5. And it's not Alabama. It's Oklahoma. This is a top 10 team start of the year. The talent is there. They just have been a bad team.
Yeah.
But a bad team with talent can give a one-time Super Bowl appearance. They can do it. That's why I'm saying them. This is their weekend to have that talent show up. I'm just saying they're possible. I like their possibilities.
I'm not saying impossible, Creed. I'm saying, like, win the Powerball odds, right? Like, not impossible. It happens all the time. But it's just very, very rare. Because even if we say, all right, let's take the two-loss SEC teams and say only two of them get in. Let's say Georgia and Tennessee get in as two-loss teams. Well, even if Indiana loses to Ohio State, they're still in. Ohio State's in. Oregon's in. Texas is in. Yeah. Notre Dame, provided they don't lose to Army. And even if they do, that is a top 20 loss if they lose to Army. You have the loss, the blowout loss to Ole Miss that I think kind of dings you up a little bit. Notre Dame will go in ahead of you. Because the other problem that you have to keep in consideration here, Creed, is that the College Football Playoff Committee, in my opinion, they value brand power. They value brand power. They value how many eyeballs they're bringing to the TV. And while South Carolina does have the SEC brand power going for it, South Carolina does not have the brand power that Notre Dame does. So if everything is equal and those two teams are bidding for spot number 12, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you Notre Dame's going to get it, even with the worst loss of any playoff team to Northern Illinois.
Yeah, I understand. Hey, I understand. I think this is Mississippi. I really believe Mississippi will do it this – I mean, not Mississippi. I'm sorry. I think the Oklahoma will do it this weekend, and I think at least make for more interesting conversation next week.
Look, as somebody who is all about Team Chaos, and Creed, I appreciate it, Big Dog. Good to have you back on the show. As somebody who is all about Team Chaos in college football, yeah, why the hell not? Let's let Alabama go down to Oklahoma. DJ Lagway at Florida, all of a sudden that team feels like a different team. That team's won three in a row, including one over Oklahoma on the road at Arkansas, where they put up 63 points. I'm talking about Ole Miss. This Florida team under DJ Lagway has felt like a different squad. They are 5-5, look at their losses, right? They lost to a top 10 team in Miami. They lost to a top 15 team in Texas A&M. They lost to a top 10 team in Tennessee, a top 10 team in Georgia, and a top 10 team to Texas. Now, the mark of a good team, as the old cliche goes, the mark of a good team is you win all the games you're supposed to and half the games you're not, right? That's my old middle school coach, Tom Grant, said that once. The mark of a good team is you win all the games you're supposed to and half the games you're not. Well, they've won all the games they're supposed to. They beat Samford, they beat Mississippi State, they beat UCF, they beat Kentucky, and they beat LSU. And I will say, and keep in mind, they ended LSU. They in Alabama ended LSU. But they didn't win any of the games, not one of the games that they weren't supposed to win. They lost all of them. However, under DJ Lagway, Billy Napier got himself another year on the job. There were a lot of Florida fans that were calling for the head of Billy Napier because they felt like they had an opportunity, right? Like Miami's a good football team, but very few of us believe that Miami is national championship material. Florida State is having arguably the worst year in the history of college football, any team, any conference, any division, any year. Arguably the worst year in college football history. The window's open. But it won't stay open for very long. And if that is the case, Florida had to take advantage now. So a lot of Florida fans were calling for the head of Billy Napier. But under DJ Lagway, when he's been healthy, remember, he was not fully healthy for the last couple of games before that they drummed LSU. It's a different team. So Florida Ole Miss, I think, has the potential to be a very interesting competition this Saturday. Oklahoma, Alabama. Look, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm picking Alabama, and I'm picking Alabama to cover. That team looks dramatically better than they did a couple of weeks ago. So, ultimately, altogether, what I'm saying here is, yeah, there is a chance that two or three of these two-loss SEC teams get loss number three, and now we got a gaggle of teams all hanging around at, 9-3 when the season's over. I don't think Georgia's one of them. Georgia Tech fought for their lives against NC State, did win, got out performance, but I don't think they've got the horses to beat Georgia. So I'm not saying there's zero chance for South Carolina to fight their way in. I'm saying it's a Powerball chance. It's a lottery chance. Like it's a 1 in a million chance. And you would need a ton of help. Because Oregon can lose one, probably two games and still go. They won't. At most, they're losing the Big Ten championship, in which case they are an at-large team. Ohio State, is going, whether they participate in and lose the Big Ten title or title game, or they don't make it at all. Even if Ohio State loses to Indiana this weekend, they finish 10-2. They do not go to the Big Ten championship game. They're still going because their two losses are to two of the top five teams in America, and the brand power of the horse chestnuts is too big not to have in.
So this would be a Lane Kiffin situation, actually. So if they were to lose to Indiana, they're not going to play for the Big Ten title. As long as they beat Michigan, they're a two-loss team.
And you're in. Yep, that's exactly correct. You lose to Indiana, this team's finishing 10-2, because I don't see Michigan beating them no matter what. And if one of two things happens, you're 10-2 and you're in the playoffs, or you're 9-3, you're not in the playoffs, and Ryan Day's out of a job.
Let's go ahead and take care of Indiana and Michigan, though, so we don't have to worry about that scenario. And then beat Oregon and win the Big Ten.
Look, to me.
Then go all the way and win the national championship. It could happen.
Sure. Again, as you have pointed out a number of times, I'm looking down the list. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Indiana, Notre Dame, Alabama, Miami, Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, and Boise State. That's 1-12. The only team out of that group I would say cannot win the national championship is Boise State.
Right.
Right? Like, that's the only team I'd have. And for the record, I'd give them a shot because Ashton Janty can run on any defense. Now, Boise State would have to win four playoff games, and they'd all be like 52-49 finals. Right? Like, they're going over every game they play in if they got a shot. But there's of those 12 teams, and that's not going to be your playoff 12, obviously, because you've still got conference championship games that could bump people out, whatever. But my thought here, Creed, to finish the thought on your
real
thought.
Real quick, the scenario that Ohio State's in, so is Indiana. So if Indiana loses to Ohio State and then they went out, they've only had one loss, and it was to Ohio State.
I don't know if I agree with Indiana. And I don't know if I agree with Indiana for one reason.
So Indiana and Penn State both end up with one losses. Either one of them making it?
Penn State will. Because they would have the same loss. The problem you have with the Indiana Hoosiers, they played 7 of the 8 worst teams in the Big Ten. Their schedule is, I think, of all the teams that are competitive, if there is a team that is getting bounced with a loss because their schedule is bad, it is Indiana. This is why I've said time and time again, I wish I had the public relations machine that the Big Ten does. I do. Because half the country is convinced that the Big Ten is somewhere in the realm of SEC competition. It's just not.
Well, we're going to find out because there's going to be quite a few Big Ten teams and quite a few SEC teams probably in the playoff.
I don't know if there's quite a few Big Ten teams. Honestly. I don't know that there is.
How many? Well, a few would have to be 3. So there's going to be 3, right?
The absolute maximum the Big Ten can get in is 4. That's the absolute maximum. I think realistically is 3 because I think Indiana with the loss is not going.
So the max 4 will be Ohio State, Oregon,
Indiana, Oregon, and Penn State.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. After those 4, who else in that conference is even kind of competitive? Nobody.
I agree.
Right? It is the most top-heavy conference in football, and that includes the Southeastern Conference. I think the Big Ten's probably getting in 3. If Indiana beats Ohio State, I think you get in 4. I think Ohio State gets in on brand power. Indiana would get in because they go to... Indiana can have a loss provided that loss is in the Big Ten championship. If they have 2 losses or they have 1 loss and it's not in the Big Ten championship, I don't think Indiana's going. I think they will drop them down behind a number of 2-loss SEC teams and potentially a 1-loss ACC team. But we'll find out. I'm talking about like if the ACC at max is getting in 2, and I'll be honest, I think they're getting in 1. I think the ACC is getting their conference champion. I don't think they're getting a 2nd. Notre Dame will get in if they went out without a conference championship game. Notre Dame will get in on strength of schedule and brand power. I absolutely think brand power is a college football playoff qualifier. I think they will get in on brand power, and this is to circle back to what Creed was saying. I just don't think there's enough spots for a 3-loss team. I think the committee will happily sacrifice a 3-loss SEC team. Provided they have their 4 or 5 SEC teams in, I think they will happily sacrifice a 4-loss SEC or a 3-loss SEC team so that they could go, see, we don't just stick SEC teams in over other teams. See, South Carolina got left out, right, with three losses. I just don't think there's room. You jump Texas A&M if Texas A&M loses to Texas. I think the worst possibility here for South Carolina would be if Texas A&M beats Texas. Because you're certainly not dropping you're beating Texas as a two-loss team, right? And by the way, can Texas take some heat? Texas's schedule has been about as weak as anybody else's that's in that kind of middle range. Colorado State, a bad Michigan team. Texas San Antonio, Louisiana Monroe, a bad Mississippi State, a bad Oklahoma. They took the L to Georgia, the only good team they played. They skated by a top 25, Vandy, Florida, and Arkansas. Right? Like, not a great schedule for Texas. Doesn't matter. Texas also has both the brand power of the SEC and the Longhorn. So I just don't think there's room for you, Creed. Respectfully, I just don't think there's room for a three-loss team. That is why I've said, I think South Carolina is the biggest what-if team in college football. What if South Carolina had beat LSU? They're in the playoffs. What, assuming they beat Clemson. What if South Carolina had beat Alabama? They're in the playoffs. And not only are they in the playoffs, they're in the playoffs and Alabama's not if South Carolina beats them. They take Alabama's spot if they beat them. But you didn't. What if South Carolina didn't get dog-walked and would have beat Ole Miss? They're in the playoffs with those two losses. So that's going to be one of those we missed an opportunity and we know it moments for a very long time for the Gamecocks. One fewer loss, you're in the playoffs. I genuinely believe that. Is there a path as it is set right now for this team to get in? I am going to say respectfully no. I don't see the path for you to get in now, unfortunately, not with three losses. All right, we'll talk some more college football. I got your audio blitz coming up. We got Kevin and John joining us later on in the program. When I hear from the time that we're afraid to hear from them, the time that works best, I will let you know. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast will join us at 9 o'clock on the dot to talk Panther footy. All that and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. A couple of texts you guys sent in. Texas says, Georgia is the best, most complete team, top to bottom. Quarterback is an issue. Let me go find the back half of that text because I'm curious what the second half goes. And unfortunately, it got split up. Here it is. UG is the best, most complete team, top to bottom. Quarterback is an issue, but that defense is so good, it may not matter. That's from Spartanburg Jay. First off, I agree. Carson Beck has had some spots where he has not looked like the guy that I was being sold is a number one overall draft pick candidate coming into next year. I'm not disagreeing with that. I am going to say, looked pretty good against Tennessee, didn't he? Looked pretty good against Tennessee, and that was effectively a playoff eliminator for Georgia. They lose that game, they are out of the running. So the fact that he not only won that game for him, but covered up the point spread in that game, I think there's something to be said for that. I do think Georgia is a very good football team. I do not think Georgia is the football team that they were during the back-to-back. I don't think Georgia is as good as Georgia was last year. I think Georgia is a national championship quality team. Absolutely. I don't think Georgia is the dominant team that they have been the last couple of years. I think Georgia is a playoff team. I think Georgia's got as good of an odds as anybody else to win the national championship game. Would I go ahead and lock them all the way up at the top of you know, my odds to win the whole thing? No, not at all. Not even a little bit. John Dog, Texas Show, said Notre Dame is a pretender, and it will show if they get into the playoffs. Notre Dame, 9-1. Their best win, Texas A&M. It maybe could have been considered Louisville. But, of course, Louisville is taking a couple of bad lumps since then.
How many blowouts do we think we're going to see in a 12-team? Because usually in the 4-team, there's always that fourth team that didn't seem like they belonged. And a lot of times they got blowed out.
Sure.
For the most part, they did. So will there be multiples of those in the 12-team?
I think we got to see how it structures out first, right? Like, I think we got to see what the bracket shapes up to be first, because I think there's potential, right? Like, I don't know that I'm ready to say that Boise will get blown out if they go in. But here's the thing. Boise may catch a first-round bye. If Boise wins out and wins the Mountain West and Colorado wins the Big 12, I think it's entirely possible that Boise State ends up with bid number 4 and therefore the first round bye as Mountain West Conference champs. And then my question is, Colorado as likely the 5 seed if they win the Big 12, who does Colorado catch out of that 12 spot? Versus, does Colorado somehow jump Boise, become the 4 seed, get the bye, and then Boise sneaks in as the 12 seed as Mountain West champs? One of the things that, you know, we've talked about brand power before, and I absolutely do think that brand power is a playoff qualifier, right? I believe that teams will not only get in or get left out. I think South Carolina's got a very different argument about getting in at number 3 if they've got the brand power that Bama or Georgia does, right? They it might be a little bit more likely that they sneak in there in that spot. Am I guaranteeing that? No. But I think it's probably a more likely outcome. Do you think that the commission, the committee, the NCAA, the TV networks, everybody that's got a hand in this thing, what's more appealing to them, great one? Colorado wins the Big 12, jumps Boise, and gets a first-round bye. And now Boise, depending on where they finish up, either Boise State hosts a first-round game, or you end up sending Boise at number 12. If they, let's say they get in at 5 or 6 and they host a first-round game, or they get in at number 12, 11-12, they go on the road, and now I've got Boise State at Ohio State, the 5 seed. Or Indiana, the 5 seed, or whoever it's going to be, Penn State, the 5 seed. Or is it more appealing to go ahead and let Boise State, who does get in as an 11-1 conference champion, the 5th highest ranked conference champion, let them in and go ahead and make them the 4 seed, make Colorado the 5 or 6 seed as the Big 12 champs, and now Lonzo Dion's got another home game. Deion's got another home game. And if you think Deion Sanders ain't going to be selling tickets, and by selling tickets, I mean getting us to watch a Colorado playoff game in Boulder on the TV network, right? Like, I wonder how much prospective television rankings are going to I wonder how much prospective television ratings will play a part of which teams catch first-round buys and which teams get to host and which teams go on the road. I'm not going to say it's
will
zero.
Will there be any West Coast games for these bowls?
If the schedules ended today.
No, I mean, will they schedule that game as a, if Colorado's in the playoff, will they schedule it at West Coast time, or will it be in primetime East Coast?
Oh, no, it's going to be primetime East Coast time. It's because it's just like every other, it's like NFL games. You're going to be playing that. The last playoff bowl game of the first round where a team's hosting will kick off at 8:30 Eastern probably. Maybe you get like a 9 o'clock Eastern kick at latest.
So how much, I mean, the only advantage Colorado would have as a home team would be weather, right?
Weather and it being in the mountains. Weather and altitude.
Okay.
Just like Denver, just like the Broncos, right? Like Broncos have a...
Is it elevated Colorado?
Yeah. Yeah, Boulder's elevated. Denver's the Mile High City, baby.
I know Denver, but yeah. I didn't know about...
If you go do the Shefty in Denver, I didn't know you're automatically where Colorado, in the Mile High Club.
I didn't know where the Buffaloes played, if it was elevated like where the Broncos plays is.
And the skies are not cloudy all day. Yes, Boulder is elevated. I don't know that it has, I don't know if it's the same altitude as that. What's the altitude of Boulder, Colorado?
According to University of Colorado Boulder, weather, altitude, and sun, Boulder is 5,430 feet or 1,655 meters above sea level.
1,655 meters.
Yeah, okay. All right, so is it high enough to affect people's breathing?
Yes.
I mean, other than cold already does that, so you got the cold and the altitude.
Yes.
All right.
Without a doubt.
So this is going to affect...
I do not want to go to Boulder.
No. Who's this going to... if the playoffs were today...
Well, the playoffs were today...
Who would it affect if Colorado were in it?
If the playoffs were today... Colorado is the fifth highest, assuming they win the Big 12, which is not a guarantee, but assuming they win the Big 12, which they are the odds-on favorite to do so, Colorado would be the fifth highest-ranked conference champion. They actually, I don't think, because the fifth highest-ranked conference champion does not just go to number five, right?
Well, I'm just curious if there's a shot that a warm-weather team would have to go there.
I think that is going to depend on whether or not Colorado only...
It's not going to affect any of the Big Ten, I don't think they 10
do.
Teams.
I don't think they do. So here's what we're working with. You got Indiana and Ohio State. How far does Indiana drop if they lose to Ohio State? I think they're still in the top 12, but probably right at the tail end of it. If Colorado... So I'm going to say they stay ahead of Colorado. Notre Dame, I don't think, is likely to lose again. They've got Army and USC. I like Army. I'm pulling for Army in this game, but I don't think they're losing to Army or USC. Could be wrong. They lost to Northern Illinois. Who the hell knows? They're a different team now. But I don't think they're losing. I'm looking at the teams that could drop behind Colorado. Alabama loses again. They go behind. All right, so I would say Colorado has a slim chance, if they win the Big 12, of being spot number probably 7 or 8, which would give them a first-round host. And if everything else held true today, see, I don't know. I don't know if there's a way for them to host. I don't know if there's a... Because if they win the Big 12... And they stay behind Boise, I think they probably end up somewhere 9, 10, 11, 12, which puts them on the road even as a Big 12 conference champ, which is in the formula.
But if they win their first game and they're a higher seed.
Only the first round host.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
First round are hosted by the higher rated seeds. Everything after that goes to a bowl game, goes to a neutral site bowl game. So I don't know. Texter said, Rob, do you think Jerry's secret plan all along was to tank the Cowboys season, draft little Neon Deion, and hire Big Deion for next year? He has the money to make that happen. You know what? We can talk about that. We got to get your audio blitz. We got Rashad Beard at 9 o'clock. We got the Move in the Chains gang coming up as well. And I'll keep going through your text when we come back on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate. Got to take a look up and down your NFL and college football schedules for the weekend here in just a few minutes, but we have gotten a handful of texts that have come in. Texter said, Spartanburg Jay is a delusional Clemson fan that thinks that Georgia is the most complete team because Georgia beat Clemson. That's from Cocky Cam in Boiling Springs. Cam, thanks for the text. And Spartanburg Jay,
getting it going a week early. Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Let's do that.
I'm here for it. Texter said, do you think Jerry's secret plan all along was to tank the Cowboys season, draft little Neon Deion, and hire big Neon Deion for next year? He has the money to make that happen. I got a couple of things to get to.
I said that weeks ago, by the way. And I do believe that
there's a lot of people saying that. Now,
I said it first.
People have been saying it for months.
Yeah, that was me. It was me.
All right. So Lonzo started the rumor.
It's not a rumor. It's speculation.
Years ago, back in 2004, Lonzo was like, one day.
No, it was last year when Colorado started to turn the corner a little bit. It's like, yeah, I think I see the writing on the wall.
When did they turn the corner last year?
You know when they did. That's when I saw the writing on the wall.
I mean, they turned a corner.
I saw the writing on the wall that said Cowboys. I saw it.
They turned a corner last year, but it was the wrong way. They went back. Anyway, I'm going to go with...
It's the Cowboy way, right?
I'm going to go with...
When you go back, that's what the Cowboys expect. That's how they play year after year after year. So why not pick a guy who already knows how to do that?
I'm going to go with no. Deion Sanders will not be the coach of the Cowboys. And there's two reasons why. Number one, and this is not to say that Deion Sanders ain't a guy who will go back on his word, because he already has. Remember when he was the coach at Jackson State, he was like, no, I'm here to elevate HBCUs. I'm here to increase the visibility and notoriety of HBCUs. I'm here to help HBCU football jump onto the national scale in a massively consequential way. And then he left, you'll remember. So you'll have to forgive me.
Well, he succeeded. He got a lot of attention there, so it was time to move on to something else, to elevate another team.
Yeah, except the problem is he was saying that he was staying to elevate HBCU football up until he left, right? There was no point where he came out and he goes, I've done all I can do for HBCU football. Like, I've elevated. I'm done. I've accomplished. He was saying the year that he left, he was staying on board. So you will have to forgive me for a bit of skepticism about Deion saying, you know, I'm staying in college. Because Deion said, I'm not going to the NFL. He's been straight up asked a number of times, are you going to the NFL? And Deion has said a number of times, no, my purpose is here. My purpose is to help young men become productive members of society. My purpose is to help young men build and own. And, you know, I heard the phrase yesterday. He said, my purpose is to help young men become fathers, not baby daddies. That's a quote. I respect all of that, but you'll have to forgive me if there's a bit of skepticism about Deion saying these things. Now, I will say this. If Lonzo and the report that he started that Deion would go be a Cowboys does turn out to be correct, I think it's going to be an absolute disaster. And it's going to be an absolute disaster. I don't think there's any world that this goes well.
You thought that to a point about Colorado, and then he turned it around there.
Here's the problem. Colorado, when he showed up at Colorado, the president of Colorado said, blank check, do whatever you want. You think Jerry Jones is doing that? You think Jerry Jones, who has never done that, is suddenly, because it's Deion, going to go, I'm stepping back. I'm David Tepper in myself. I'm stepping back. I don't.
All right. Here, I am curious about this. So college players going to play for Deion, there's something there, having a chance to go play for Deion Sanders.
Yes.
It's a big deal. Does that translate in the NFL?
Probably not.
We don't know.
You are correct. You didn't ask me, will it? You asked, do you think? No, the answer is no.
That was a statement more. I mean, we don't know. So I want to see.
We don't know, but as with everything else that we do here, you can take the evidence and reasoning, and you can come to a
belief.
That
he's been successful everywhere he's been.
He ain't been to the NFL. So would Chip Kelly Steve Spurrier and Nick Saban and all these other guys.
But he has been in the NFL. He's one of the most successful NFL players.
Players?
Yeah.
A lot of players have sucked as coaches, right? And again, I'm not saying Deion would or wouldn't. I say, if I'm Jerry Jones, I don't know that I roll the dice and take the chance, because yes, there is obviously a market difference. So we had a whole segment yesterday about Shady McCoy under Chip Kelly, a wildly successful college coach who got to the NFL level. And it doesn't work that way. You don't just to go. You don't get to go in and just be a dictator to NFL players and expect them to suddenly just subscribe to your methodology. You got to go win some titles at the NFL, and then guys are more apt to do it. But Jeff Kavanaugh is a host on The Fan in Dallas. Here's the take he had. All due respect. He's talking about Jerry, obviously.
I just picked up a new thing.
All due respect.
When Rob is going, no, let him cook. Let him cook.
Oh, we've been dropping the let him cook. Here's the thing.
No, but I don't do that.
You know who started that?
Yeah.
I'm about to make you not do it. You know who started that? Russ Wilson.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He did not.
He started the let Russ cook movement, and then the let him cook took over after that.
Let him cook has been around since man started cooking food.
I'm not disagreeing, but Russ elevated it to what it is in the pop culture jingo today.
Yes, he did. He did not.
All right, whatever. Put that away. I'm not fighting over that because I want to stay dialed in here. Do you think that Jerry Jones, a man that has Dallas Cowboy fans sounding like that, calling him a total bleeping psychopath, all due respect, do you think that Deion, who very clearly is going to do everything Deion's way, is going to be able to thrive in a world where Jerry Jones has to do everything Jerry Jones' way? No, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster.
All right, so I do believe that he'd be willing to hire him, and I do believe that there's a good shot.
I didn't say hire him. I said succeed if he does.
If he gets hired, he'll be successful.
Now, Based on what?
Because he's been successful everywhere he's been, and I know he hasn't been in the NFL. All I would say is let him cook.
Again, sure. Trust me, I'm all in for that because one of two things is going to happen. I'm either going to have the character Deion Sanders that is going to be an NFL prolific character, which, okay, great, plenty of content for me, or you're going to have Jerry Jones, who has never let another person make a decision in his world, go up against Deion Sanders, who wants to make every decision. Who?
The first couple of years of Jimmy Johnson. He absolutely
let
Jimmy
Johnson.
Then
what happened?
Then he went against it.
Uh-huh. And that was what year? 1992, 3, 8, whatever?
I don't know, when you were like 4 years old.
Correct. And it has been the way it is now for 30 years. And you think he's just going to be like, oh, my bad, I got it wrong. Deion, you take over.
So if he were to, and I still believe that there's a good shot he does, if he were to hire Deion and Deion comes in there and turns things around, are we getting another Rob Brown apology?
Sure.
Okay, all right.
Sure. I think I've made it very clear.
I hope I'm alive for that.
Even just today. I don't know.
How much turnaround does it have to be before we get the apology?
I don't know.
Just to make the playoffs?
I don't know why it is that people think being wrong and owning it is a bad thing. It's not. Never has been. Being wrong and owning it is good. More people should try it. It'll make you feel
all
like
right.
a better person.
You should own it, but not throwing caveats. I was, you're right, but I just want to point out that I was also right on this too. It's got to be like, I was wrong and that's it.
No.
Nothing else.
That's not how
I was wrong and nothing else.
I can point out that I was wrong about the coordinators in South Carolina while pointing out that, as I may have to do with Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders. If Deion shows up and Jerry Jones does what David Tepper has done this year. He's out of the limelight. When's the last time you heard from Tep, right? If Jerry does what Tep does, then I will come in here and go, I was wrong. Jerry Jones stopped doing a thing he's been doing since I was 5 years old. I was wrong. He did stop doing that thing. You have no reason to believe that he will. I had no really reason to believe that he will, but he did. The coordinators at South Carolina, when I was pointing out leading up to the Ole Miss loss, this team is undisciplined. It feels unprepared. The play calling is boring. It's predictable. It's not taking advantage of the strengths of this football team, and I don't see it changing. And then it changed. All my reasons up until that point for saying what I said up until that point were valid. And then things changed and I became wrong because things changed that I did not foresee changing. That's okay. I own when I'm wrong. I apologize when I'm wrong. If I'm wrong about this, I will apologize then too. It doesn't make me wrong about what I'm saying is the reason it won't work.
What is the scenario where you would have to say you were wrong with no caveats? Is there one? As you just could say, yes. I was wrong.
The day that I am wrong and I base it on a reason that was also wrong. The day that I go, X is bad because Y. And then it is proven to me down the line that Y is wrong. Right? And I go, okay, I based my logical conclusion on a flawed premise. Right? If I say X is correct because Y happened, and then it comes out later that Y never happened, then yes, I was wrong. And there is no caveat. I was wrong because my premises was wrong, and therefore it made me wrong. But
this sounds like the Arthur Fonzarelli way of explaining wrongness.
No, it's just that there is a roadmap for utilizing logic to arrive at a conclusion. A conclusion. That's more important than occlusion. There is a roadmap to it. My logic for why.
Occlusion, it sounds like another word.
My logic for why Dion and Prime can, or excuse me, Jerry and Prime cannot exist in the same world is perfectly solid. Jerry Jones, since he fired Jimmy Johnson and took over the role as general manager, has been the only voice in that organization's leadership hierarchy since then. That is 30 years plus of being the only guy with decision-making
power.
What's
his son do?
He's just an enforcer for his old man. He's just the new Jerry in waiting, right? The fact that you don't know what he does is exactly the reason I know what he does.
Stevens.
Yes.
It? Yeah, yeah.
He does nothing. He does whatever daddy tells him to do. And so would I if daddy was like, you do what I do and you inherit the Dallas Cowboys. You got it, daddy. Whatever you need. No problem. All right?
Yeah. I'm glad you said daddy because we can't say diddy anymore.
No problem, dad. You tell me jump, I'll ask how high on the way up if the prize is the Dallas Cowboys. Sure. But I got 30 plus years of Jerry Jones being the only guy with any decision-making power in that organization, and I've got Prime's entire coaching career of, I'm doing it my way, I'm bringing my baggage in, it's Louis Vuitton, right? So explain to me how.
Aren't there other NFL teams where one person has been in charge for a really long time? And
yes, but we're not talking about them, are we? We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys hiring Prime. You didn't ask me how Prime would fit in with the Arizona Cardinals and the New York Jets. You asked me how they fit in with Dallas.
Which I think he'll fit in fine wherever he goes.
I think he'll fit in.
All he does is win.
I think he'll fit in wherever he goes, provided wherever he goes says, yes, Dion, you do whatever you want, and we'll make sure we have what you need. It's the Tom Brady method. Whatever you think you need to succeed, you let us know, and we'll make it happen. Do you trust Jerry Jones to do that? No, which is why I don't think he'll work with the Cowboys. I don't think he'd work with the Saints. I think he'd fit into the culture exceptionally well. But I don't think Gale and Mickey Loomis are going to let him have the rope that he needs to be the man he has been that has allowed him to win at every other school he's coached at, not franchise, because every other school. Colorado ran an entire advertising campaign talking about how they are Prime. We have Prime Universe. We have Prime Views. We have a Prime Journalism School. We have a Prime Athletic Department. We have a Prime. They made their entire advertising campaign. Dion's here. Yeah, they're giving him everything. You think Jerry Jones is doing that? Not a freaking chance. That's why it will be a disaster.
He wouldn't have to because, you know, Colorado's doing that to make a brand out of where they're at.
Doesn't matter the reason they are doing it.
Dallas is already a brand, right? So they wouldn't have to.
Thank you for helping my argument.
Yeah, your analogy doesn't work.
No. You just made my argument, and you don't even see it.
Doesn't work.
You don't even see it.
Doesn't work.
Yes, Colorado did that to pimp themselves on Dion's name. Yes, they did.
Right, Dallas doesn't have to do that. So they're bringing him in purely to be a coach.
And how has he succeeded as a coach? By having everything exactly the way he wanted with no one pushing back ever at anywhere.
Listen, I'm sorry I didn't go get you juice earlier.
I'm going to go get my juice during this break while Lonzo reads the Sports Flash. Rashad Beard after this. Stick around.
I'm not really sorry. Get your own juice. Clemson knocked off the Radford Highlanders. because there can be only one. On the hardwood, 79-51. I don't care if you think it's funny. It's my favorite thing to say today. Last night, Chauncey Wiggins scored 16. Ian Shefflin had 14. And Dylan Hunter recorded 15 off the bench for the Tigers, who shot 51% from the floor and 48% from deep in the win. Clemson is 4-1 to start the season. The Gamecock men's basketball team turned away Mercer, 84-72. Jamari Thomas had 19 points. Zachary Davis had 18 off the bench. And Colin Murray-Boyles had 16 and 9 rebounds. Tune in tonight at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels continue their run in the playoffs against the Spartanburg Vikings. It's Burns versus Spartanburg right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, The Fan, Upstate. Rashad Beer coming up.